The conference is now being recorded.
Good to go.
Good afternoon. I would like to welcome everyone to the Juno Minerals Investor Presentation and Q&A. Today, we have Juno's Chairman, Priyank Thapliyal, Managing Director and CEO, Greg Dorrack, and CFO and Company Secretary, Melissa North. Priyank will provide an introduction, then Greg and Melissa will take you through the Central Yilgarn Iron Projects and the IPO. We will then open up to questions. I'll now hand over to Priyank. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and welcome everyone to the Juno Minerals IPO Investor Presentation. Before I pass on the presentation to Greg and Melissa, I just want to basically say a couple of things. The most important being that, just like our Jupiter IPO, we are structuring the Juno IPO with a very simple message. We have a three-pronged strategy, and that is what the management team and the board will be focused on. The first is to fast-track the development of our Mount Mason project. The second is to see if we can increase our DSO reserves by focusing on regional consolidation. And third, which is probably going to be our mid to long-term target, is to see if we can come up with some creative ways to develop the Mount Ida project. So we will do whatever is needed to stick and develop to the Mount Mason project. Secondly, to consolidate on a regional basis and increase our DSO reserves. And thirdly, to focus on some mid to long-term strategy, innovative way of developing the Mount Ida project. Apart from that three-pronged strategy, Juno will not be looking at any other thing in the near-term future. So with that as the backdrop, I would like Greg to take you through the presentation, and Melissa will talk about the financial stuff on the IPO at the end. And after that, the three of us will be happy to take your questions. Over to you, Greg.
Thank you, Priyank, for that introduction, and welcome everybody. Good morning, afternoon to wherever you're from. So this is a fantastic opportunity for Juno Minerals, acquiring the Central Yilgarn Iron Project. Now, the Central Yilgarn Iron Project's got two projects. That is Mount Mason, a DSO hematite project that is just about ready to go, plus a very large magnetite resource in Mount Ida. So our primary objective over the next 2 years, certainly this year, is to get Mount Mason into production as quickly as we can. The project is just about fully permitted. We just need to resubmit a couple of other permits. So hopefully you're looking at slide 3 currently. So we'll be targeting producing a DSO fines product initially, and we're looking to road transport it to a rail siding and then down through, rail it down through to the port of Esperance. So the purpose of the IPO is we're looking to raise an additional $20 million to fast track Mount Mason project. So if you move to page 4, we have a look at the board management. Priyank, who I'm sure you most of you are all aware of, is also going to be the chairman of Juno Minerals. There's Mr. Lee from POSCO, a major shareholder in Juno Minerals, and also Patrick Murphy as a non-executive director from AMTI Group. So those personnel bring a lot of experience into the company, with a lot of experience in the coal and the iron ore business. And of course, we've got Melissa North, who will be our CFO and company secretary as well. So Melissa brings a wealth of experience and knowledge into the organisation as well. Now, of course, there's myself. I've been, you know, in the mining industry for well over 35 years now. I work for both major and minor companies in project development and bringing projects into execution. So I think this is a very exciting time for Juno Minerals progressing these projects. And it's also unfinished business for myself, so I mean, I worked on the Central Yilgarn Iron projects back from 2007 to 2013. So I know them very well, and it's unfinished business for myself. So it's a great opportunity in my view. So if you go over to page five, Mount Mason is a well-established project. We've got close to 6 million tonnes at just over 60% iron in resource. We do have an existing village there called Cassini. It's a 40-man camp. It's a high-quality camp. We'll look to expand that so we can get into there straight away. We're looking to expand, add another 60 rooms into that. As I said, most of all the mining proposals, approvals are already approved due to expiry of the native veg clearing permits and the works approval for Mount Mason. We just need to resubmit those, and that's what we're doing as soon as we list onto the ASX. So one of the reasons we're looking at a change strategy in developing Mount Mason, we're looking at a contracting strategy for all our major and minor contracts. So we're looking at a low capital intensity up front. So we're really well positioned to fast track that project. In actual fact, a lot of expressions of interest of all the contracting packages have already gone out to market. Week and a half ago, and we expect responses back in a week or so. So we aim to be ready, ready to get into tender packages and that upon listing. So initially, we've got over on page six. We're looking at just producing a DSO fines product initially. So it'll be a simple open cut operation. We look at starting up in the southern pod, which starts at surface. That's got a strip ratio about 2 to 1. So there's 500,000 tonnes there we can get into straight away. And then we'll look down to move into the main pit, which has got a strip ratio of 3.2 to 1. So all the mining will be done by conventional open pit mining techniques, drill and blast, excavators and trucks, which we'll haul to a contract crushing plant. Producing a fines product and our target grade of 60%, where we'll road transport it to a rail siding and then look to get the volumes out through the Port of Esperance. We don't need to do any more drilling on the current resource apart from grade control. But as Priyank said, our Central Yilgarn Iron Project tenements, there's still potential for DSO targeting, and certainly in the first year we'll be reviewing potential target areas, conduct some more geophysical work, and look to expand our DSO resources within our tenements. So that's a bit of a snapshot of what we're doing for Mount Mason. In regards to the Mount Ida magnetite project, so on both these projects, we did close to 100 kilometres of drilling on these projects and did a lot of high quality work in feasibility study work, all the geotechnical work, hydrology, mine designs and plans, infrastructure. So there's a huge volume of work that's already been done on these projects that Juno will inherit. But there's been some developments in the magnetite processing of late by a company in West Australia who's now currently building a large magnetite project, and that is looking at not a dry comminution process up front, so it saves a lot of water, and more efficient comminution processes in getting to the right particle size to remove the magnetite. We're pretty encouraged by that, and once we get Mount Mason in production, we'll be looking at doing some flow tests, a lot of metallurgical test work and power plant work on testing a new flow sheet that uses less water, less power, and is less capital intensive project. But we're not going to be looking at starting off at 10 or 20 million tonnes concentrate production a year. We'll look at a more of a modest thing, probably around about 2 to 3 million tonnes, which will be doable in a capital sense. So I think you know, the Mount Magnet type project is a great opportunity. But as I said, and we'll be looking at getting Mount Mason into production, you know, as quickly as possible. Moving over to page 7. So just in summary, I mean, the investment proposition is we've got a well-advanced DSO hematite project, looking at a low capital intensity to get going. The majority of the approvals in place. As I said, we just need to resubmit the native veg clearing permits and the Mount Mason works approval. Looking to get access to existing logistics and infrastructure with the objective to export out through the port of Esperance. So, and after we've got all that settled down, up and operating, smooth operation, bringing cash into the company, we'll look at progressing, looking at the Mount Ida magnetite project, because that will be a long life mine. So I think, support of PREAC as the chairman and support of our two major shareholders, POSCO and AMCI, we're well positioned and well supported into getting those projects into development production. So it's a certainly exciting time for all of us. So if we move you over to page 8, Melissa will give a bit of a rundown on the IPO offer details.
Thanks, Greg. So just summarising, I guess, the offer and what's in the prospectus that you may have read already. Juno is proposing to issue up to 80 million shares to raise up to $20 million. And the $20 million, as you'll look and see in the prospectus under the use of funds, that will really set us on our way to developing Mount Mason, completing sort of the smaller capital projects that we have to do in terms of road upgrade, etc. The minimum application size being $1,000, and we are looking at an indicative market cap of between 30 and 50 million on listing. The offer has been open about almost 2 weeks now, and we've seen some good take up from the retail sector. And as you would have seen today, we have appointed two brokers to assist with the capital raising. So things are looking quite positive, and we're seeing a lot of support and interest in the IPO so far. Moving on to the transaction timetable, just to give you a summary of that, obviously the closing date for the share offer is 26th of February, so we've just got over 2 weeks left to run, and we are aiming to commence trading on the ASX by middle of March. I guess you would have also seen as part of this transaction is the actual demerger itself of Juno Minerals from Jupiter Mines. Whereas we're just sort of concentrating on Juno and its projects today, just a background on that also. Jupiter shareholders will receive an increase of 120 million shares in Juno under in-specie distribution. So that's going to all existing Jupiter shareholders as at the record date, which I believe is the 1st of March. So anyone holding Jupiter shares on the 1st of March basically gets an entitlement to receive Juno shares in that in-specie distribution. So all going well, we will be on the ASX by middle of March, and as Greg said before, we have been doing some work behind the scenes so that on day one we can really hit the ground running and get Mount Mason producing. There are some appendices attached which are just the general risks and also the mineral resources statements, just for your information.
Yeah.
Greg, unless you want to add anything more?
No, I think that summarises it pretty well. So I think Priyank, myself and Melissa can take any questions if there's some out there.
Thank you, Greg and Melissa. Guests are now invited to ask questions by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad now. You will hear a tone as you join the queue. Please listen for your name and I will introduce you through to the call to ask your question. That is star 1 on your telephone keypad now. Just another reminder, guests, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad now. We do have a question. Our first question is from Stephen Hartley Brewer from, he's a private investor. Please go ahead, Stephen. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon, good morning from London. The existing feasibility study on Mount Mason had something like 65 million Aussie dollars of upfront CapEx. Even if you're constrained as part of the IPO process from giving us a new number, perhaps you could explain whether that 65 million included categories of CapEx that you no longer expect to need to incur. Maybe somebody else has put in roads, maybe you're going to rent, not buy the dump trucks, et cetera. Anything you'd clarify for me on CapEx would be great. It's really unclear from the prospectus whether the additional 20 million raise is sufficient to build the mine or not.
Yeah, thanks for your question, Stephen. When we did the original feasibility study, we were looking at putting our own crushing plant in. The majority of that cost, there was 35 million into the crushing plant, and a fair bit of other infrastructure, including a rail siding development. This time around, we're just going to be doing a straight up contracting basis to keep our capital costs low. Everything will be contracted, the mining, the crushing, the haulage. First time around, we're not going to be establishing our rail siding at Yundaga. We're going to go to an existing siding just a little bit further south from Menzies. There's 8 million dollars saving in the rail siding, for instance. It's a completely different basis moving forward onto, getting the project up and running. I'd like to think that, if you've got the full 20 million dollar subscription and let's say we've got the 5 million seed capital from Jupiter, is that that'll be enough to get the project away. The whole point of we're going out to contracting, a lot of the EIs have already gone out to market. We'll be looking at getting the contracts done the tenders and contracts in a fully executable form. Then we can nail our operating costs and everything down with real hard numbers. Then we'll move forward on the project on that basis. The only capital we're looking at is for Juno itself is adding the 60 rooms, some road developments, road intersections, access onto the Goldfields Highway, some communications and, the project execution costs, and the owner's team build up. We'll be looking at minimizing upfront capital. Of course, there'll be contract and mobilization costs upfront, but certainly we won't be buying any major bits of equipment, to execute this project. I hope that answers your question, Stephen.
Yeah, that's incredibly helpful. Are there any sort of equivalently run mines that we could look at to get an assessment for what their OpEx per ton is?
Yes.
A pure contractor, pure hematite.
Yeah, I think the only ones I can really sort of refer you to is the smaller producers coming online currently. That's Golden West Resources and Fenix Resources, FENIX. We're looking at similar production capacities. A couple of those are further away from the port from us, but I think those will be our peers which you can have a look at currently.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Our next question is from John Schultz from Macquarie. Please go ahead, John. Thank you.
Good day, guys. Just a few from me. Just trying to find out, is there any other regulatory or approvals that's needed? What's the sort of line items until you break ground at the project?
No, we don't need any other approvals. The project previously was fully approved back in 2014. As I said, the only things that have expired since then is the native vegetation clearing permits for Mount Mason. and also for Yundaga rail siding site, which we aren't going to develop initially, and also the Mount Mason Works approval. So we just need to update those and resubmit them into the regulatory authorities. Then, of course, there's the minor ones, access to the, you know, the Shire roads and getting approvals from the main roads. But they're just matters of process in those aspects. But as far as all the project approvals, they've already previously been done. So, and what was the other question? It was our timeline in looking to get in production. So, look, yep. we're pretty confident. You know, our objective is to get ore on ship before the end of the year, and that's what, you know, we've got a lean and mean team to push this project forward, and that's certainly going to be our objective.
Excellent. And then speaking of the shipping, you said going out of Esperance, is there agreements in place with the port there, and is there capacity as well?
No, there's no agreements in place, but we're looking at an alternate methodology to get out through that port than the current bulk loading system. So we're about to commence port discussions, but I've been in discussions with a major logistics supplier over the last couple of months. There is an alternate way out through the port initially where we can get going. So the objective is to get going, get production out through the port, and then we'll look to move into the, you know, the more of the bulk loading system arrangement out there. But the first objective is to, you know, get into production, get out through the port. So we're looking at going out through berth 2, not berth 3 currently. So, and we're about to commence port discussions within the next couple of weeks. So there has been higher level talks with our major supply chain. So that's the line that we'll be pushing to get out through the port.
Excellent, thank you. And then just one more, just on the relationship between Jupiter and Juno once the demerger and the IPOs all taken place. Can we expect to see between the two companies there? I mean, Jupiter, I understand, will hold a bit of shares in Juno, but would there be any sort of capital calls or anything from there?
I'll take that one, John. So after the demerger is complete, Jupiter won't hold any shares in Juno. So it's a complete, divorce. I'm just going to talk about the name. The name of Juno Minerals is Jupiter's wife, so we like to joke that it's the divorce.
Yeah.
And so Jupiter will have no ownership of Juno after the demerger. I guess the only relationship being Priyanka's chairman and myself as CFO and company secretary and a shared office space until a point in time where, you know, one or the other gets too big and we'll have to
relocate. So we expect that to happen we're starting lean and mean. Going to keep overheads very low. The thing is to get these contracts tendered into executable form, and as the organisation grows, we'll have a move out of the shared space in Jupiter office, but two separate entities, both going their own ways, will be the outcome.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks for clearing that up, and good luck with the IPO and, you know, looks like a good stage ahead with iron ore where it is.
Absolutely. No, it's an exciting time. So we're really looking forward to it and sort of can't wait. So yeah, we're raring ready to go. So thanks for your questions, John.
Thank you, John. If anybody else would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad now. We do have another question. We have Chris from 21C. Please go ahead, Chris.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for the presentation. I'm just looking on slide 12 here, and I was just wondering about those silica levels and whether you've tested the market up in China and they're happy with that level. I mean, I'm not no professional, but it does seem a little bit on the higher side. I'm just wondering if you could answer that.
Yeah, thanks for that, Chris. So one of the they are on the higher side, but look, we could metallurgical test work to show we can decrease them substantially by doing beneficiation. But that would require, $25, $30 million in capital to build a beneficiation plant, more water, and tailings dam to hold the fines. So, as I said, we're only going to produce a fines product. So there'll be a little bit of a penalty with the Seleucia alumina level, but in respect to the size of the resource and the capital required to beneficiate it, we'll be way in front on taking just a slight penalty on it. So, but I think where the iron ore market is at the moment, they're after units of iron. So, you're still seeing good prices for 58% DSO and FMG produce around 57% on some of their products. So we will be producing a 60% iron target. That's our target. Some areas are a little bit lower in Seleucia and alumina. But, we'll just take a slight penalty on that. As I said, the market's after iron units at this stage with the pricing. So, we'll be way in front, in my view.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. We do have a final question from Stephen Hartley Brewer again. Please go ahead, Stephen. Thank you.
Are you still looking to do something like 1.5 million tonnes a year?
No, we'll start off at 1 million tonnes will be our initial target, but we can expand to 1.5. But certainly, ramping up, getting increasing our capacity through the port, as we increase our resource, that we'll be looking at ramping up certainly to 1.5, but we'll be starting at 1 initially, Stephen. Yeah.
Thank you, Stephen. Priyanka, Melissa and Greg, we have no further questions at this time, so I'll hand back to you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks everybody for dialing in. So it's an exciting time for Juno Minerals. So hoping you'll all join us in this journey going forward. So it'll be an exciting trip, I'm sure of it.
Brian, do you have anything to say?
No, nothing, Melissa. I think as Greg has outlined, this is a tremendous opportunity to ride the wave, just like we came to the market 2 years ago with the Jupiter IPO with a very simple promise. So we are coming with the Juno IPO with a very, very simple message, which is to fast-track the development of Mount Mason project. And we are delighted that we have Greg on board, who has the experience of these projects, historical experience, plus he has excellent project development experience. So we've got a very good and capable management team, and the contracting model has worked for us at Chippy in South Africa. On the logistics side, as Greg has outlined our strategy, we started off building our Chippy mine without any port and rail allocation, and now we are the biggest exporter, single biggest mine exporting manganese out of South Africa. So I see a lot of parallel between like what we have achieved in South Africa and what and do at Mount Mason. I'm sure the journey will be different, but the end product, the end goal is pretty much the same, just to fast track the development of Mount Mason, like the Chippy mine development in 14 months. So with that message, as Greg has said, I encourage you guys to look into the prospectus, and Melissa has outlined the timetable, and it should be a good journey, and it would be nice to have you guys on as shareholders to enjoy the ride. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, everyone. As your host has closed the call, you may simply leave by disconnecting your phone line. Thank you for attending.